Our reading this evening is from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 19. And when Jesus had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this: 'The Lord has need of it.'" So those who were sent went away and found it just as he told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of it." And they brought it to Jesus. And throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down to the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the disciples in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out."
Amen.
O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints, I want to especially focus this evening on verse 38, where the disciples were crying out with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Peace in heaven. Can you think of a name that when somebody mentions it, it makes your blood curdle? Makes your blood pressure rise, gets you a little more tense. Got some names in there, I don't know. Maybe you work with them, maybe you know them real well, or maybe it's like a person of history or a politician. But just the mere mention of them makes you tight and angry.
Angry.
Yeah, that's right. Angry. I want you to consider this beautiful phrase, because it's not found, we considered this morning on Wednesday morning that Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem is found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But Luke only has this beautiful little phrase that Jesus' triumphal entry, that the disciples are crying out that there is peace in heaven. And it's a wonderful phrase. And one of the heart of the Christian message is that when your name is mentioned in heaven, no one's angry. You got it? No one's tight. God is at peace with you. Now, he shouldn't be. You're a sinner, and I'm a sinner. We do all sorts of things that God tells us not to do. We think all sorts of things that God tells us not to think. The things that he tells us to do, we so often don't do. We should make him mad. The mere mention of our name in heaven should bring God's wrath. But because Jesus entered Jerusalem, because Jesus was going to Jerusalem for the purpose of bearing our sin so that he might receive the wrath, when your name is mentioned in heaven, the angels rejoice. God rejoices. That's what it means for there to be peace in heaven. That's wonderful, isn't it? That when I mention Maya's name in heaven, there is peace. And when I miss Miss Barbara's name in heaven, there is peace. Everywhere there's peace because of the blood of Jesus, because of everything that Jesus has done. And this is why you can, in fact, call upon God. It's why you can be in God's presence this evening and not be destroyed, because Jesus forgives you. Jesus died for you. Jesus brings peace. And this changes the rest of your life too. So where is there not peace in your life? Where is there not peace in your families, among your work, in churches, among our nation, right? And so the Christian gathers so often in God's word and needs to hear this, that no matter the other stuff, you know there is peace in heaven. And that's where you will be forever. And there'll be peace forever and ever. So I gave you a wonderful verse from Romans chapter 5 this evening under our meditation, because I think it's a bit of a commentary on what it means to have peace in heaven. Romans chapter 5 reads this: "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." It's one of the most beautiful passages, I think, in all of the Bible, that you know there is peace in heaven, and that begins so for you to have peace with God. Justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have access to God. And do you see all those wonderful words? Grace, rejoice, hope, and not only hope of the good things, but even hope in the midst of suffering. Because you know suffering is going to produce those things. So I wanted to highlight that verse just for this evening. But there's so much other wonderful truths of the reading. So what kind of struck you this evening? What comforted you? Or, you know, Miss Shirley, I know this morning and then again this evening, it is a powerful verse that they say, "You tell them to shut up." And Jesus says, "If I told them, the stones would cry out." You know, you tell them. The very stones would cry out. It's a fascinating.
Because if you don't praise him and worship him, if you don't do it, the rock's gonna do it.
The rock's gonna do it.
You know, that's pretty powerful for me. A rock.
Yeah.
But a rock's gonna praise God if I don't. So I better go ahead and do what I gotta do.
Right.
You know. So.
Right.
That's powerful.
It is. It's wonderful. It's powerful. Other things from the reading?
The fact that from the Synoptic Gospel, I think it's only Luke that says he got on a donkey, and it was a donkey that never been ridden.
Right, yeah.
And so I think that's the difference between the Synoptic Gospel.
Right.
But that one right there, it got me.
Right.
You know, God's will had to be here. He's come strolling in, and he's got his scroll, he's got everything and everything. This had to be done. It's already right here for us. You know, he went marching in for us. And I think that's the beautiful part of it is, he did this all for me. Some of it's good, some of it not so good, but the end is very good.
Right.
I mean, you know.
Right.
But that's what I think from the reading.
Yeah, yeah. Has anyone seen the movie The Star? The Christmas movie that came out? It was like a Pixar-y, cartoony. You seen it?
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Okay. It's wonderful. But it's the Christmas story told from the view of one of the donkeys that was going to be there at Jesus's birth. It's a funny little thing. It's really well done. Yeah, you know, and you can kind of go down that road. This was a donkey that was never ridden on before, and donkeys are meant to work. You know, donkeys are meant to do these sorts of things, and you wonder, you know, when's somebody gonna put me to work? And all of a sudden, this is his work. To bring the king into Jerusalem, and the shouts of Hosanna, and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And this is the king who's going to die for the world, all of creation.
Well, that man, with the one, I mean, we're talking about donkeys now.
Right.
why would he get on, you know, well, I was thinking of it this morning, why would he ride a donkey as you know, magnificent as he is.
Right.
And I say, well, it didn't have no car. But I was just saying, you know, why would he ride a donkey?
Right. Yeah. It's a helpful sort of thing to think about. You know, if Jesus were to come into Jerusalem today, what would he be driving? You know, what sort of car would he be driving? I've heard one pastor do it like, you know, you would think maybe he'd be driving a tank. You know, he's power. No, he wouldn't be driving a tank. You know, he could have ridden a horse. He could have ridden a war vehicle. Maybe he'd be driving a Corvette or something fancy. Well, no, they had other beautiful things he could have ridden on that day. He chose a donkey, right? It's not a war thing. It's not beautiful. It's a donkey, you know? It's a beast of burden.
And he chose the donkey, right?
Huh?
He chose
the donkey. Jesus chose the donkey. Yeah, he'd be riding a clunker in there, you know? Gets to where it goes.
Because he didn't want to stand out.
He's humble.
Very
humble. Humble. Yeah.
But it is. I bet you if Obama walked in the door, we would really, we break our necks and get to him. You know, probably. Now, I don't know about Trump, but.
We talked about it this morning.
Okay, I'm going to shut up.
Yeah. But one of the points that the donkey is making is Jesus comes not to conquer. You know, he's going to fight sin, death, and devil. If he came to take over Jerusalem by force, he would have come with an army and with horses and chariots. And we talked about that verse this morning, too, when Jesus is grabbed by the soldiers, and then Peter slaps somebody's ear off, and Jesus says, "Stop it. Do you not know I could call a legion of angels and they would rescue me?" You know, Jesus could have brought in, but he doesn't. He goes to conquer sin, death, and devil. And for that, it means taking on our sin, God's wrath, and dying. Going to hell, proclaiming victory and rising again on the third day. He's got a, you know, the reading that some of the Sunday school teachers you all had done, you know, Pilate, you know, "So you're a king?" And Jesus' response, "My kingdom is not of this world." And it's a good reminder for the Christian, because we're impressed by things, his kingdom. And it's much more powerful and longer lasting, too. Other thoughts from this text?
Was this foretold? It was foretold, right?
Right, yeah.
From the beginning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Matthew especially mentions that this is all done so that the prophecy might be fulfilled. It's from Zechariah 9, coming into the you got a little bit of the verse in the introit today. You know, behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he. The first line from your psalm. That's part of what's fulfilled. Well, let's rise and pray.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy, O Lord.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord Jesus, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Gracious Lord Jesus, blessed are you who come in the name of the Lord. We thank you that you have come and that you still continue to come with your word and with your peace. With some of the most wonderful news that we could ever hear, that there is peace in heaven when our name is mentioned. That our prayers rise before you as incense, and that you hear our petitions, that you love to hear our voice, and that we have access to you by grace because we have been justified by faith. Hear our prayers, therefore, as your Christians, as we pray for each other, for this congregation, for all of those in our workplaces and communities, for our nation, for our president and all in authority, for our armed forces and everyone who protects us, for everybody in the healthcare field, for our schools, for our teachers and our students and administrators, and for all of those that we now name with our hearts and voices.
Bonnie Street will be celebrating her first birthday tomorrow. You want to hear some news of fighting cancer?
I'm going to pray for the advance in her family during the loss of her husband, the Hill family, and the Reed and Rickerson family. And the Ford family. Through
Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angels be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.